in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning April 9th, 2005, this is the Rain Report. This is a rerun of an April 16th, 2004 Rain Report. From the waiting to be planted fields of Iowa, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Back in early February, we heard Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, talk about the FCC's decree that the U.S. amateur radio service be restructured. In that conversation Hap Holly, KC9RP, had with Haney, there were a number of other issues discussed. One of those concerns local radio and repeater clubs and their lack of growth.
One thing that is really missing with local radio clubs is the lack of attentiveness to guests and follow-up. Seems to me that a radio club should have a committee that not only welcomes guests when they come in, but that someone will be his or her buddy during that meeting, introducing the guest to the officers and to some of the real stalwart members who are of major import in the organization. And then, once the meeting is over, to follow through. I can't tell you how many times I've heard of folks who have gone to a radio club meeting, and it even happened to my wife and me recently here in the Chicago area, where no one talks to you, or maybe just the president, and maybe one other person out of 40 or 50 people. And you wonder, what am I doing here? And I can imagine how frustrating it must be for someone who is either not licensed or new to the area or newly licensed to walk into a radio club meeting and be totally ignored. That may be the last straw that may force that person, if they are newly licensed, to put the radio on the shelf and never take it down.
That's a very good point, Hap. I see this. I go to a lot of club meetings, not as many as I used to, mainly because of time constraints. But nothing would be more frustrating for me if I were a new ham or was just interested in amateur radio and heard about my local club going to have a meeting and read about it in the paper. So I go and be ignored, and nobody says hello, how are you, or anything like that. Or you sit through the club meeting and listen to them argue about the repeater and the auto patch and stuff like that that has been beat around for years and years and years. That would be a turnoff for me, and it'd be a turnoff just about for anybody. I agree with you 100%, and as you were talking there, it occurred to me that, you know what, one of the things the club could do, and they certainly got the funds to do it, is print up some business cards, not necessarily with the current president or anything like that on it, but say this is the Dallas Amateur Radio Club, here's some phone numbers of some people that can help you. Give it to the person, and that would be a big first step. Greeting people at a club meeting should be a no-brainer, because if you go into the local stores nowadays, such as Walmart and some of the hardware stores I trade at, there's a greeter right there, and it says, hi, how are you, how can I help you, or what are you looking for, and they will tell you where it is, and you can go find it, and it makes everything run a lot smoother, and that we should take a lesson from that. If big industry has decided that's important, and obviously they have, then we should also take a lesson from that and do that same thing. I get lots of newsletters from clubs all around the country, and one of the things I've noticed in a couple of them, and I can't remember which one they are right off the back of my mind, but one in particular, they've got a list on the back page of the officers and then a list of mentors. That if you want to learn CW, call Bill, here's his phone number. If you want to take a circuit class, or call John, here's his phone number. If you have an antenna problem or an RFI problem, here's Jack, here's his number. And I thought that was really neat to put that on the back of a newsletter. So if you did want to spend the money for printing business cards, make sure you have some spare newsletters with the club meeting and hand those out to the new people that come in. And I think that would be a big help. The league can't do all these things. It's impossible for us to do that. It's got to come from first the individuals and second from the clubs. That's going to be the ticket. And we've got to be more friendly and we've got to be more open. My experience has been that as a whole, amateur radio operators are somewhat introverted. I can understand that. But on the other hand, there's somebody in the club that's extrovert, who's a salesman or some type of a marketing person, or put them in charge of greeting new people. That's going to be go a long way in seeing club growth. I get a lot of complaints about our clubs not growing and stuff like that, and then I see other clubs who growth has exploded, and it turned out that they elected a real stemwinder as an officer or president, and he went out there and hustled and got with it. I understand time constraints, but on the other hand, if you want your club to grow, that's what you got to do. The other thing that gets clubs to grow and gets amateur radio to grow is for the clubs to start sponsoring classes. Dallas Amateur Radio Club for years had two class sessions a year, and we put a lot of new people in, and we gave them a free membership in the club for a year when they went through that. And they'd come to the club meeting and look around, and we'd introduce them, and it really worked well. Other people, other organizations should take a little bit of a lesson from that. People like me, you know, they say, well, you come out to field day, well, I've made 25 of them, I put up towers, I've gathered up all the chiggers out there, let some of the young people do it. Because, you know what, whether you're 9 or 90, if you're going to your first field day, you want to be a part of it. And those are the people you assign the task to help put up the antennas and help clear out the area for the tent and so on down the line, because they've never done it before. And it's exciting for them. And let them operate. Even though you may be an experienced operator and can do 10 or 15 cues a minute, and you see the other guy sit there and he can maybe do one every 10 minutes, that's okay. It's not a contest. It's get him his own air experience.
You're listening to ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP, sharing some of his thoughts as to why a number of radio clubs and repeater organizations are stagnating and what can be done to reverse this trend. Haney will conclude his thoughts in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for RAIN audio.
Invite a new person that's from your club that showed up. Hey, come over to my shack Saturday. Let me show you what I've got. I've never seen a ham that would turn down a tour of their shack and let a person get on the air a little bit. I'm an exception to that rule because my shack looks like an explosion in a junkyard. But I'll certainly encourage other people to do it. And on occasion, I've had kids over here during Kids Day operate, and it was fun for me to watch it. Set everything up for them and let them use my call and let them get on the air. And it's interesting how somebody new like that can rekindle your enthusiasm for amateur radio. You see it in their eyes and you hear it in their voice, and it doesn't take long. And next thing you know, you're saying, well, let me show you how Ballon works, or let me show you how you can make a multiple-element dipole for various frequencies and stuff like that. It's all over again. Just showing somebody how to put a PL-259 on, making sure that they put the barrel on before they started the end on, because any ham that says he's never done it is lying. I'm telling you that right now. I've done it myself many times, and to the point to where, whoops, I wish I hadn't done that. Well, that's all part of the learning curve and showing people how. People say amateur radio's dumbed down. Well, that's not correct. If they really stop and think about it, that's a popular word to use, but it's certainly not descriptive. I know what they mean. They mean that since we don't have to take 13 and 20 words a minute code anymore, that the amateur radio's gotten dumb. Let's be honest with one another. That's not a level of intelligence or measurement of your intelligence quotient. It's a measure of your skill. And any skill can be honed with practice. The key to that is just practice, not any type of intelligence type thing. I'd love to be able to, some of these people that say amateur radio's dumbed down, say, okay, come on into the FCC office, and we're going to give you today's exam. You don't have a chance to study, just, you know, you take it right now. And if you pass, you keep your ticket. If you don't, you forfeit for a year. That would be an interesting experiment. I know it wouldn't work, but that's what I would say to these people that amateur radio's dumbed down. Take your current test. Get on QRZ and take the test. Don't study. Don't do anything. And then tell me how you did. All of us, at the beginning of our amateur radio careers, was dumb as a box of rocks. And it's the time that goes by, the participation, the going to the field days, visiting another person's shack, building something, even if it's just as simple as a dipole or a 2-meter Yagi antenna, is part of the learning curve. And all of us learn constantly because there's new stuff out there every day. I know when Oscar 40 went up, I'd never been on 2.4 gigahertz. Didn't think there was a need for it, but the more I thought about it, I want to talk to that satellite. So I learned about dishes, and I learned about down converters and stuff like that. So it's always something to learn. Amateur radio is not dumbing down at all. I think a lot of us have dumbed down because we haven't kept up with the technology that's out there. Clubs can help with that. As you say, be friendly to new people. just because a person just got his license and he gets on 2 meters and makes a dumb mistake. Now, that's where I use dumb. Don't jump down their throats. It's not the way to encourage people to stay in amateur radio. I know here in Dallas, where I live, you get a new crop of hams on the air, and they forget to identify, or they forget to use some of the proper etiquette, if you will. You know, the one I love coming from the CB ranks says, well, the personal here is, you know, Jim, well, that's from another service, if you will. And all it takes is, hey, you know, here we talk to each other just like we would at your house, and we don't need all that. But it's fun to listen to it sometimes. Some of my favorite gripes is negative contact and station not heard. I have to laugh when I hear that. And where did that come from? That come from us, monkey see, monkey do. If we set the example, these people that come on the air new, they will operate properly. But if we operate like a bunch of fools on 75 meters or 20 meters or 2 meters, they think that's okay, so they do it too. So we have our own selves to blame there. They didn't just pick that up by reading the manual. They picked it up because they heard us do it, us old-timers, if you will.
Some thoughts from Jim Haney, W5JBP, president of the ARRL, American Radio Relay League, shared with RAIN founder-producer Hap Holly, KCNRP. This is just one of 50 RAIN reports you'll find on the forthcoming CD of RAIN reports from 2004. In addition, there will be bonus tracks from RAIN programming produced in 1990 and 1991. We'll have more details as to how to order the MP3 CD in May. In case you missed CQ Magazine editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, talking about CQ's 3 new awards last week, you can still hear that program until next weekend on rainreport.com, thanks to audio underwriting by CQ Communications. The RAIN Report is copyright 2005 RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.